Well, we've been studying for a number of weeks here about starting over in Revelation, the second chapter, about being rich. And we've studied about being rich in faith, being rich in works, being rich in love. And I just feel like the Lord has continued to talk to me about this subject. I want to start again in Revelation 2 and 8 and 9. And it says, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." You know, this morning, we're some of us here that have been here for several weeks, is no stranger to this verse that we've been studying. When God says someone is rich, it must really be something. And so I've been taken by this. I've been thinking about this. What is in the mind of God that he saw in this congregation? And he didn't say this to the others. He gave them the compliments for what they had done and things. But to the congregation at Smyrna, he said, "I know your works and I know your tribulation. I know you've been in a lot of trials. I know you've been in a lot of troubles." He said, "I know your poverty. I know you're in destitute conditions right now, but you're rich." And this morning, I want us to think a little bit about being rich. I believe God is rich. I don't think our minds, if we comprehended everything our mind could comprehend, I don't think our minds could get very far as to the riches of God. It goes so far beyond us. Just the very things he's made staggers our mind. But God is rich. And I believe he wants you and I to be rich. All that heaven has, he has made us joint heirs with Jesus. All that heaven has to offer, the Lord has looked on you and me that didn't have anything to offer. And we come to him without any hope of what do we have to offer. We come to offer our repentance. We come to offer, Lord, ourself to you. And God offers to us all the riches of his kingdom. And he wants you and I to be rich. And I hope we recognize that this morning. God wants you and I to be rich. He commended these people. They weren't rich in their own self. They didn't have anything to be rich about. They were rich because they had tapped into God's riches. And they were rich. And the Lord commended them for that. He said, "But thou art rich." What a statement for God to make. What would he say about us this morning? I've wondered, Lord, if you spoke to us, what would you say? Make us rich. Make us well-pleasing in your sight. And so we want to go from there and study a little bit. And the study didn't really take the path that I maybe kind of envisioned it to. But I feel like the Lord gave me some things, and so I want to take that path. Ephesians 2 and 7 starts by saying that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, the Lord, that is his heart. Do we realize this morning the heart of God? In the ages to come, we're in the ages to come. We're about a couple thousand years later. We're in this time. And he said, in those ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There's another scripture before we kind of move on in Hebrews 12 and 28. Where it says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. How are we going to serve God acceptably? With reverence. There's no way except God extends grace to you and me. Grace is the favor of God. It's not something that we deserved or merited or worked for. It's something God had toward us. But it's not just favor. He actually puts within us, He actually imparts His power to us as well. I was thinking about the definition of grace, and part of that definition, it starts by saying graciousness, but it goes on to say, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That sounds like power. That sounds like something more than just goodwill toward me. That sounds like that He's extended to you and me some of His riches and some of His strength to us. So we want to look at a little story. We all know the story of Esther. I want us to think about the idea that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Beyond what we have the possibility of thinking of, He's able to do that and willing this morning. And so we want to look a little bit about what the grace of God means in our life. And how do we obtain the grace of God? There's so many in this world that doesn't have it, but how do we have it? How do we get a hold of it? Do we work for it? What do we do? I want to look at Esther 3 and 8 and look at a few little verses here. Some of these I'm just going to refer to probably because we could have a lot of reading this morning, and I'm puzzled as to exactly how much to read and just quote. But it says here, so it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also into the king's house to the custody. You know what? I'm in 2. 3 and 8 says, and Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. And Haman turned King Ahasuerus, a Persian king, that had great power among men in the world, and he turned his heart and got his favor to eliminate from all the provinces all the Jews, that they might be killed. And Esther the queen, we know, was one of those. And Haman probably didn't know that at the time. If you drop on down to 13, it says that letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. And we find Esther under this kind of curse. And so, dropping on over to 4 and 10, it says here again, Esther spake unto Hatach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And so, if we remember the story well, we know that Esther's life was in her own hands here, seemingly. She was coming to a man that had such power among men that if you came unto him and he decided not to hold the scepter out, they took you out and killed you. And we see that with Haman later. When the king's face turned against Haman, they immediately covered his face, I believe it was. They began and they took him out. And he gave commandment, go hang this man. And that's what happened. And so had Esther come before King Ahasuerus without, and he refused to hold the scepter, she knew she would die. It was very serious to her because she knew the power and the usage of this kind of thing. The scepter was a stick, if you want to call it that. It was a rod, if you will. A staff or wand usually made of wood 5 or 6 feet long and commonly overlaid with gold or ornamented with golden rings. Sometimes, however, the scepter was made of ivory or wholly of gold. It was borne in the hands of kings as an emblem of authority and power. And so, when Esther came to this idea, she told them in 4:16, she said, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Esther knew what she was up against. How is she going to come before the king? If I perish, I perish. But it's my only hope because I'm going to perish anyway. And so she came before him. And 5:1 tells a little about that. I want to read that. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of his scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of my kingdom. Do you know, this morning, I wonder what it was like to come into his presence and not receive the scepter. I can only imagine sometimes he didn't like this person. Maybe it was a scepter of ill will sometimes. Maybe it was a scepter of unrighteousness sometimes. And people come into his presence and they died right there. That was the way of the court at that time. But do you know, this morning, I think about one, folks. We're talking about being rich in grace this morning. There is a king that even the kings answer to. There is a king that this king answered to. He had to answer alone, without his guards. He had to answer to that one. But I want to tell you a little about his grace this morning. And we read about the riches of his grace. We don't have to be paupers, and we don't have to worry that we come into his presence as they once did and be killed, because God has a scepter. Do you know he has a scepter? And it says in Hebrews 1:8, it says, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Ahasuerus is over. The Persian Empire ended. The Medes and the Persians came in. They took over in high style. But it's all gone now. But the king, the one that we come to, folks, the one that has grace for you and me, the one that has grace for our life, that has, not only will he hear us, but he has the power to help us and will. This king not only heard Queen Esther, but when she came, he granted her request. and he gave her what she needed. But it says here, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. What a blessing this morning. A scepter of righteousness. Not one of ill will. Not one of saying, well, you know what you did back there. Time for us to get even here. The Lord, the God of heaven, holds out, folks, to you and me, a scepter this morning. And it's a scepter of goodwill. And it's a scepter of righteousness. And he sees our life this morning. And he sees the troubles that we face. And he sees the places where you failed and where I have failed and where I need his help. And he sees us as we are. And I want to tell you, he wants to help us this morning. I know and believe in holiness. But folks, do you know that God even reaches to those that would fail of his grace? Do you know he tells us not to fail of his grace? But do you know that should a man fail, the Lord still is reaching to you and me? I want to encourage us this morning that God Almighty, the one that sits on the eternal throne forever and ever, he has a scepter of righteousness this morning that he wants to reach out to you and me, and he would like for us to come. And he hold that scepter to us and him impart to you and me the grace that we need to live our life, all of our life, without stepping back into sin. Do you know God wants to do that for us? And he will if we'll let him this morning. And I thank God for that. We need help in many ways this morning. Not just sin. Sometimes we just disappoint ourselves, don't we? Lord, I want you to help me. I want you to help me to be a little gentler. I want you to help me to be a little more kind. I want you to help me to be a little stronger in this. That when this kind of thing comes up, that I answer with grace. Do you know God has those things for you and me this morning? I want to look at Acts 4 and 21 to 33. We probably won't read all of this, but here we find, that a miracle had been done. And it begins to say, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Folks, I want to tell us this morning, God wants to hear our cry this morning. He wants to hear when we are afraid. He wants to hear when we feel like, Lord, I can't do this unless you do something for me. He wants to hear us at all. I believe the Lord wants to hear us this morning. And it says, when they went to their company and they reported all of this, I want us to encourage us this morning that if we don't find the level of graces of God in our life that we need, I want to encourage us to go pray with some that can pray with us today. I believe what they did here was they didn't go home alone, and I believe very much in that. As you know, I'm really an advocate of that. But I will tell you, they went to their other companies, their other people that they were associated with, and they began to pray and call upon God. I want to tell you something. God has grace for you and me to live for him every day of our life. Now, he doesn't want us to be up here one day, and the next day we're all down here, and then we finally become discouraged in that. The Lord wants you and I, He wants us to know He has a scepter reaching out toward you and me. And He wants us to have grace to be able to serve Him. Grace to be able to be a good example. Grace to be able to love our spouse like He wants us to. Grace to be able to humble ourselves the way we need to in life. Humble ourselves in our situation. It may be on the job. It may be with a boss that's just hard to get along with. Do you know that God wants His people to give the world a taste of grace, a taste of the riches of God? Why should we be destitute and poor? And every time anything comes along, we don't have enough. We don't have enough to face the trial, the battle. Excuse me. When we serve a God that is rich and wants us to be rich, when we serve a God that has a scepter that He wants to reach out to us, folks, I just want to encourage us this morning. Let's look at what happened here. These people were threatened. They were unrighteously so. They hadn't done anything wrong. And they were threatened. And they were mistreated. And they were sent away. Don't you speak any more in this name. And you know, they went, verse 24, Acts 4, And this is what they said to God. With one accord they lifted up their voice and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Thou art God, who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. And it goes on. Verse 29 says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And so, I just want to share those little thoughts with us this morning. There's so many other things, and we're not done, of course, but you know, this morning, it says the place was shaken. The Holy Ghost gave them a visit. And it says great grace was upon them. And God began to work in wonderful ways. This morning, I want to encourage us that God has, He has great grace. Just like this king, Ahasuerus, on a small, tiny scale, he had such power. And he could tell Esther, come on in, I want to hear you. But it did not stop there. He gave her her request. Up to the half of my kingdom, he said. Now that was nothing to God. Something about the streets of being paved with gold. I would say that's pretty lowly stuff in God's eyes, gold and all those things. But I will tell you something. The Lord has grace for you and me. And He wants to give some of it to us this morning. And if we feel like we're not getting there, He's instructed us back in James to confess to one another, to pray one for another, that we might be healed. God has grace to heal us. He has grace to heal our sinning. He has grace to heal our hearts. He has grace, folks, for our battles. He has grace to help us. We stand in need every day. I'm full aware of many things that some of us face. And folks, I don't want to face some of those things that some of you have to face. But I know the God that gives me grace for my trials will give you grace for yours. And so this morning, I just hope that our hearts can be enlarged this morning. The God of all grace that has a scepter of righteousness and goodness and love toward mankind. And he sees you and me right where we're at. And he has it stretched out to us when we come to him, just like these people did. They came and they just told the Lord, "Lord, look at their threatenings. Look at what's going on here. Lord, we're not able, you know, they'll throw us in prison. Lord, I don't know what all they said. They'll kill us. They killed the Lord. They killed Stephen." But I will tell you, and maybe that hadn't happened yet here, but you know, we find that God met them and he gave them grace. Folks, I fear that the only time grace doesn't work is when we try to do it ourselves. And when we try to manhandle things, we're not very strong, folks. I imagine most of us have found that out. We need something from God. But I hope we recognize this morning that the God of all grace, he has that. And not only does he have it, not only is he willing to hear us, but he's willing to grant our request this morning. And I urge us to pray together, to seek the Lord, to press things beyond if we don't feel like that we're getting where we need to go. I think these people had a total dependence upon God. It was an utter dependence on the Lord. They didn't have what they needed and they knew it. Isn't that a wonderful place to be? Then we can come to the one that does have it and get it from him. I want to look about of a couple of stories again, and Lord help us this morning. In 2 Chronicles 16, here is one Asa. Do you remember Asa the king? Was he a righteous king or an unrighteous king? Anybody remember? He was a good king, wasn't he? Asa was one, but I want to read a little, because it tells the mind of God here in this story, I want to read a little of it for that reason. So, 2 Chronicles 16, and let's start at 1. And it says, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha king of Israel came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa king of Judah. Now, mind you, this was in Asa's 36th year. Asa was not a novice. Asa knew the Lord well. He had worked well with God. God had worked with him. He had been blessed. But we must ever recognize that we are needing God's grace all the time. We are needing his mercy. We are needing his help. And so then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold." And so he entreated Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, to come and help him. And he sent him gold and silver. And to make a long story short, Ben-Hadad came down And he brought his army and he attacked Baasha, the king of Israel. He attacked him. And so he had to go defend himself. And he left off of what he was doing to hurt Asa. And then Asa was able to just destroy all the things that he had done. Sounds like a pretty smart move. But he took all the gold and the silver. He took the gold out of the Lord's. How does it say that? gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord. And he did all of those things. And you know what? Baasha left. And he left him alone. It sounds pretty smart. And at that time, verse 7, listen to what the Lord had to say about this. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Now I thought that we were talking about Israel attacking Judah and Asa. But the Lord had something so much bigger in mind in all of this. He said, Syria's got out of your hand now. You gave them, they don't record this. You gave them the treasures out of the king's house. You gave them the treasures out of the Lord's house. You stripped yourself bare. And now he's gone. You're not going to be able to help. God had something in mind here, much bigger than Asa ever dreamed. But Asa did not go to the Lord. He didn't come to appeal to the grace of God. He didn't come to appeal to the one that had the scepter. He just took it in his own hands. And he did what men do. Sounds pretty smart. He left off. But God said, you know what? Now he's got out of your hand. I was going to deliver Israel and Syria into your hand. And he says, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord, I'm trying to get the mind of the Lord this morning, okay? How does God think about things? He says here, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Now we'll come back to this place in a minute maybe. But you know what seemed so smart and so wise to the mind was very much outside of God's idea of things. He said, Asa, you have done very foolishly. You have missed all that I planned for you to have. Now, in what you've done, in other words. And so the Lord said that the eyes of the Lord, they're going to and fro through the whole earth. My eyes were on you, Asa. I was wanting to fight your battles. I wanted to do, you remember the Ethiopians and the Lubims, Asa? You remember that? That's what I wanted to do for you again. I want to go back and look at their story a little bit. And the loot that he received. And the blessing from God that he got. And what he missed here. And the Lord told him, from now on, you're going to have wars. This is your punishment for what you've done. Well, what did he do? He did a smart thing, did he not? In the mind, he did. But do you know that God wanted Asa to trust in him this morning? He wanted him to know the grace of God appeals to you, Asa. I had it ready all your life now. And I'm just saying some things here that I can imagine the Lord wanting to say to Asa, whether he said them or not. All your life, Asa, I've took care of you. All your life, you've trusted in me, and I've been your help. And so, the Lord wasn't too impressed with what Asa did. And I want to go on. I think about the scripture in Galatians 2, where it says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now it's speaking there about the law. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And he was speaking there saying that they would to trust in the law to be saved and not in a real experience with the Lord was something that frustrated the grace of God. It made it ineffective. It was not able to work like it was supposed to work. And so I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. I think about all the things that God has in his mind toward you and me. And all the ideas and blessings he had for these people, for Asa, and how he wanted to bless him again, and he wanted to bring Syria into their hands, and he wanted to give him all the loot too, and all the things that he would be enriched by this very battle, by this very thing. But Asa, he didn't do that, did he? He looked to his own mind, to his own self, to his own ways. And the Lord was very displeased with that. And so, I just give this to you because I felt like this is what God gave me. And the Lord help us to bring it out where it's understandable this morning. In 2 Chronicles 14 and 2 was where Asa began to reign. The story is an awesome story. I would like to read it all, but for the sake of time and all, I'm not going to do that. It says, and Asa, 14 and 2, Asa did that which was right, good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah, the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Isn't that an amazing little beginning? All these wars that go on continually. And here was a man that began to seek the Lord. And it says the land was quiet before him. God put his blessing on it, didn't he? And he blessed him. He extended his scepter to him. And we go on down. Let's go down to verse 9. In 8 it talks about Asa and his army. In 9 it says, and there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000. That's 1,000,000 people. That's a huge host. And 300 chariots, and came unto Marishah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha of Marishah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them into Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown that they could not recover themselves. For they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. And so they carried cattle away and all of those things. Folks, this morning, I hope we don't underestimate the grace of God that he has to us. I know there are those here who have found this grace from God, who have trusted God and loved God. And I want to encourage us this morning that here it says he cried unto the Lord. And we see that God, it says, because the Lord, how did it say that? The Lord fought for him some way. And then there was all this spoil and all the riches that God wanted to give him, that he gave him in all of this. Now, if we turn back over to to where we were before, where was we? 16. You know, the mind of the Lord is that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. This is what I want us to get a hold of this morning. The reason that God was so incensed about what Asa did was because the whole plan of God to begin with is that you and I and he have a pact. We live in close communion. We love the Lord and He loves us. We are His people and He is our God. And He said He goes to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. This morning, I hope we just set our hearts to God and, Lord, whatever You want in my life, I want. And whatever You allow, I allow. And give ourselves to the Lord in that way. I was thinking about the scripture in Psalms 34. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that trust Him." Do you know that is what the Lord is wanting all along? Folks, He wants us to taste and see. He made us for His delight. Do you know that He made us as people for His own delight? And He delights in us, and He loves us. Then He tells us, taste and see, the Lord is good. He said, don't take our own way. Don't take our own thoughts. Don't take our own life in our own hands, but allow God to have our life. Know that grace from God is there and that we can trust Him in, with our life and for all things. We believe that this morning. You know, in the 16th chapter, we start now again at 10. And look what it says here. Folks, I want us to get a hold of the fact that God loves to help His people. And so He allows us, as He did Asa, for things to come. He allowed those million Ethiopians, or however many there was, to come down there. He wanted to deliver them into Asa's hand. He wanted to give Asa rich spoil from all of that. But folks, if we withhold ourselves from God, if we withhold our lives from Him, if we withhold our bodies from Him, we do ourselves a disservice, because the Lord is looking. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him this morning. I want to look here. It says, then Asa was wroth with the seer. How could he be angry at God's prophet? After he had lived all his life, he had seen God work so many times. How could he be angry with the prophet of God? But he was angry when Asa told him this. And it says, and put him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. I know this is a little different direction, but if we can understand the whole mind of the Lord here, He was talking to Asa. He was bearing His heart to Asa. Asa, I'm going around through the whole earth. I'm wanting to show myself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward me. Asa, I want to walk with you. Asa, I want to fill your life up with jewels. I want to give you riches. I want to give you some things. Do we recognize today that God is looking at you and me with intense yearning and desire? Do we realize that that is why when we just never think of God? We just do it our way. We just do whatever the mind, whatever we think is smart and good. Folks, we miss the very purposes of God. His grace that He so freely extends to you and me. The graces of God. And many times we are stripped of those graces when we allow our own lack of faith, our own lack of complete consecration to God. And He's saying, I want to make you rich. I want to put your riches of faith in your life. I want to give you riches of love. I want to make you rich in works. I want to make you rich. I want to make your life rich. And that's what God is wanting to do. It's in His mind. He's going everywhere. He's looking everywhere to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Those that put their trust in him and love him. Folks, this morning, this wasn't the way that I planned, the way that I would have thought. But I feel like the Lord gave me this morning. Doesn't seem like it's come out the best. But you know, this morning, God wants and yearns and desires for us to come into his presence. And do you know there was a time that if somebody would have walked through that second veil, they would have died in his presence. Even the high priest that went through the cleansings and the purifyings and washings and all those things, they tied a string around his leg, I've heard, because they couldn't go in and get him if he did die, so they could pull him out. Do you know that to stand before the awesome presence of God was not something mankind could do? But oh, how God yearns and longs for us. In his mind all along was the time when my people would be my people and I could be their God and I could be close with them and they could stand in my presence because of the cleansing blood of Jesus and they could be saved. And so people sometimes feel like I can't be saved. I've done too much. Folks, do we know that he's extended a scepter to you and me? And it is a scepter of goodwill. And it is a scepter of righteousness this morning. Oh, how the Lord wants to give that to us today. I want to look at Ephesians 2 and 1. Listen to this, and you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do we know it goes clear to that point? It goes clear to the point when somebody is dead in trespasses and sins. They've been sinning against God, and yet his scepter is outstretched to you and me. And wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There isn't a one of us here that have one thing over anybody else. Maybe we didn't do everything someone else did, but every one of us sinned. The scriptures tell us that. And so, but God, listen to this, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, our little message is one of the heart of God and his great scepter of righteousness reaching out to you and me, calling you and me. I want you to live close to me. I want to give you grace from heaven. I'm not only going to hear you, but I've got the goods on hand. I'll send them to you. I've got the grace that you need to live like I want you to live. And I'll send it to you this morning. Paul, he goes on down to say here, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, another scripture in 15 and 10 of 1 Corinthians says, and Paul said this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And so this morning, I hope this makes a little sense to us today. Oh, folks, the grace of God Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He knew that was all he was. Folks, we've got to do what they did when they threatened him. Let's go to the one until heaven moves and we receive grace. Folks, that's where it is that we live. Too many times we do it our way. We go only so far. We say a little prayer. And God is waiting for us to come before His throne. He's waiting for you and me to come before Him and receive grace from Him that He wants to freely give. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God, His heart is, folks, for us to come to Him this morning. I had just another scripture, too. Maybe I'll read 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. And God is able to make all grace abound. Let me get that. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. We ought to study that verse a little bit and comprehend what it's saying, because it goes way deeper than just hearing what we just read. God is able and He's willing to make all grace abound toward you and toward me, that ye always having all sufficiency, that means plenty, that means enough, sufficient for the task. God wants to give that to us this morning. I know it comes by humbling Himself, ourselves. I know it comes from a well that's far beyond us. Paul one time was having troubles, and in fact it was the messenger of Satan buffeting him. And he felt weak in that. And it made him, it was a battle to Paul. He was a man like you and me. It was a battle to him. But you know what the Lord told him? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Folks, we may feel weak, but I want to tell you, the well of grace is deep. And He has all that we need. And all that will fill all of our needs. And so we want to come to Him. And in our weakness, come. In our need, come. In our disappointment in ourself, come. In our disbelief. Lord, I don't see how You can help me. I've tried this. Come. Come to Him until heaven moves. Until the place is shaken. Until the work is done, until the grace of God enables us to live for Him, until He enables us to have joy, until He enables us to move close to the Lord. I believe that the Lord wants to do those things for us. You pray for us.